Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
Evening brothers, good to be back. How many of you ate too much? Yeah, for Thanksgiving? Yeah, oh man. Man, we have stories to tell, right? We have some good cooks, I can tell, in our brotherhood and our families. Yep. Well, tonight, I'll tell you, God's going to bring a meal for us in His Word, you know. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer and lift up these prayer requests. And if there's any last-minute ones, feel free to kind of sneak up beside me and bring them up. So, Heavenly Father, we just, Lord, thank you for this evening. We thank you for the brothers that get to gather in a place that's safe, Lord, that we can come before each other transparent and not having to feel like we have to hide anything, that we have to be perfect to be in your presence. But Father, we get to just be men that do life together, that walk with each other and struggle with each other and rejoice with each other. So Father, thank you for the brotherhood that we get to share here every week. And with our brother Roger, we just ask for an increasing sales in his job. Father, we just know that your hand is on every aspect of our life, and that includes our businesses. And Lord, as we have need, Father, we just ask for your provision. Whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's directional, Father, we lean into you during those times to be our source. So, Father, make your way clear. Make those sales start to happen in Roger's business. And, Father, may these increasing sales at his job at Dignity Memorial truly just glorify you with whatever happens through that situation. Also with Roger, we pray for his brother-in-law, Jeff, who's battling an infection after surgery. Father, we just ask for your hand of healing there with Jeff, that you'll reach in to that infection and just provide healing in those areas. And lead the doctors to provide the medications and the care that's needed so that, Father, we get to sing truly real soon about your victory over that infection. We know that you're already looking after Jeff, but, Father, we just ask for your hand of healing to be on his life. With our brother Renee, we pray for Cheryl and Brad for her knee to heal. Healing to heal completely after surgery again. Father, again, we need your healing on every part of our lives. For Cheryl and Brad, for her knee to heal, but it's no different than us sometimes needing this time of year a change of heart, a change of focus, a healing in our families that we'll get more godly centered and godly focused instead of so materialistic. Father, we ask that you provide that healing for Cheryl and Brad and the knee healing, but also, Father, heal us in our families that need healing. We pray for our brother Daniel for the unborn. Lord, the atrocities that happen really more than daily. Father, for those women that are living in fear, that don't know what to do, that maybe it's an unexpected pregnancy and they feel like they're going to be judged. Father, work on their hearts. Show them that there's a way that doesn't involve taking the life of an unborn child. Father, show them the path to righteousness and give them clarity of mind and provide those people in their path that they might be able to meet with that will help them maybe adopt or Father, to have courage to raise that child themselves once they see that picture of that unborn child through a sonogram. Father, we ask for a change in our country. And we know this is no small task, and maybe it won't happen overnight, but Father, we lean into you. We know that you are sovereign, and we trust in your judgment and your guidance, and we look for your direction on how to make the legislation and how to run our country. So Father, work on those unborn children that they might be able to see life through their parents. We pray with Rich that he'd like us to pray for his dad's recovery from his heart attack. His mom, who was in a car accident, and his three grandsons who got evicted for RSV. Father, wow. It just seems like with our brother Rich there that's been a double, triple punch, car accidents and being evicted. Father, these things can seem overwhelming to us, so too much for us to handle, but Father, we know that these things are not too big for you. So Father, we lay Rich and his family all into your hands, knowing that you, if they seek you, that you will give them the guidance and direction that they need. Also, we pray for Joe Maselli's wife, who is sick, I guess, with COVID. That's why he's not here tonight. Father, we pray for a quick healing of Joanna for her COVID. I haven't heard anything about it. Hopefully it's just a small temperature change and it showed positive on a stick. But Father, just provide that healing for Joanna. Give her comfort, give her encouragement, give her courage during this time, knowing that you're always fully in control. We also pray for David, who's sick. And I'm not sure what type of sickness this is, but Father, we pray for your healing on David. Just provide the care that he needs, provide the rest that he needs, and Father, help him to, during this time of sickness, when maybe he's laid up, help him to seek you. Even when our physical bodies ail us, Father, there's never a time that we can't seek you and your word and your grace and to learn from you during this time. So Father, bless David during even this sickness. And with our brother Ed, we pray for his granddaughter, who went on a missions trip and got sick after getting back. Not COVID, but looks like with a severe fever. Father, we pray for Ed's granddaughter again for healing, that this fever would just be taken away completely from her. That obviously your heart is out there on the missions field to serve you, and yet when you get back, it can seem kind of disappointing, almost like, God, you let me down. I got back home, and now here I'm sick. But Father, help her to keep her heart focused on you. Help her to not be discouraged, but Father, help her to heal her physical body, that she might, again, get back out on that mission field and bring the good news of Jesus Christ to that area that she's serving in. And we pray for Brant, for his mom, who's has a hoarding disorder, and it's reached an extremely unhealthy level. He just prays for direction to snap her out of it in a constructing, loving manner. And Father, we know that in this country, hoarding is a real thing. It's a real disorder. It's something that is so contrary to Scripture. We're told to hold on so loosely of the things of this world, just as my brothers and I were talking about before coming in here. Man, all the stuff of this world, it's just going to burn. May her eyes be open to that all the stuff that we have, it doesn't matter. All the things that we hold value with and of importance, Lord, that those things are not the things that have eternal value for your kingdom. So, Father, help her get her eyes off the things of this world and on to Jesus. Help her to start using her in a mighty way for your kingdom, because when her eyes are cleared, moved away from the tangible things of this world, and Lord, we start thinking about what awaits us in heaven. Man, we want everybody there. Everybody that we love and we care about. So, Father, do that healing work in his mom. And lastly, we pray for Steve Brinkley, who has a shoulder operation coming up. This is with our brother Mike Rogers. We pray for a speedy recovery. We pray for a successful operation, Lord, that you'll guide the doctor's hands and those anesthesiologist guys that do their thing in the operating room. And Father, just give Steve, Father, confidence that you're in control of everything. Steve's been such a blessing in the choir. May he, during this time, Lord, truly just be lifted up by worshiping you as he's going through his recovery period. May this shoulder surgery not only go well, but Father, may it be fully healed, that it will never happen again. Father, all these requests we bring before you, knowing that you already know these things, but Father, you know that it blesses us, knowing that we can come to our loving Father with anything that we have. So look after us this night. Bless our worship as we get prepared for the coming of your word. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brothers. One thing I really enjoyed our last time together was getting to hear from everybody. I'll tell you, to hear from the brothers what God is speaking, you know what? Sometimes you go, I don't even remember saying those things, because God's speaking to each one of us individually, right? What we need to hear, what we need to learn. So really, when the last time we met, it was so nice to hear from you guys. Well, we're continuing our study through Proverbs, yay? And I'll tell you, we've been learning about wisdom. And wisdom, during Thanksgiving, would have told me that I should have stuck with just the one piece of pie and not the two, right? That I should have only had one plate of turkey and yams and stuffing and stuff. But no. My dad said, you know, too soon we get old, too late we get smart, right? So that's my dad's wisdom, but that's about all he had to pass down. But let's seek the Lord tonight, Father, because truly we want to hear from him tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all the goodness in our lives. We're so thankful to have this brotherhood, so thankful to have your word that's spoken to learn from. Lord, where, you know, we don't just learn about the perfect people in the Bible, but Lord, you show us really what it's like to be your child, to be shaped and molded by your guidance. So, Father, that's what we ask from you tonight to do in each of us. Father, may your word speak to our heart, and may we daily be transformed more into the image of your son, Jesus. That's our prayer. Amen. Amen. Proverbs tonight, chapter 4. And I've got some good news for you tonight. We're only going to be in one chapter. Crazy. We've been flipping, dipping around from this proverb to that proverb. Well, we have a theme that's going on tonight. And this one I've called Fatherly Wisdom. And as you're turning to chapter 4 in Proverbs, you might remember that there's an ongoing theme in Proverbs. We've been exploring it, we've been discovering it, and it's all wrapped in one word. What is it? Wisdom? Yeah, wisdom. Do you remember what wisdom is in Hebrew? Chachma. There you go. Chachma. And Chachma is actually tells us how to live a skillful life that is both healthy for us physically, emotionally, spiritually, but also a life that's pleasing in the sight of God. Now, tonight, Solomon is going to teach us an important truth, that godly wisdom is not only acquired, it's not only to be valued highly, but godly wisdom is to be passed down from generation to generation. Godly wisdom is meant to be shared, passed down to our young, but it's amazing how quickly the young people, even at a very early age, can be resistant to that wisdom. On Monday, I got to spoil my grandson, Jackson, right? And we were playing hard, and I got on the phone, and he had one of those little keychains. He's 2.5 years old. And so while I'm not looking, he goes over to a wall socket and starts putting it in. I go, no, owie, Jackson, you can't do that. And he goes, okay. Start turning away. Pretty soon he starts going, no, you're not, that's going to hurt you. Even at an early age, they learn that, you know what, wisdom is hard to learn. I'm resistant to it. And it doesn't get any better when our kids get older. We see them going through puberty, right? Tough stage. We see him going through the teen years. Maybe you remember the famous quote by Mark Twain. He said, "When I was a boy of 14, oh, my father, he was so arrogant. I could hardly stand to have that old man around. But when I became 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years." Right? It's this whole thing that, you know what, our heart isn't prepared to learn the truths our parents or those older than us have to pass down to us. We're called to mentor the young, but not just young in age like Jackson, but also young in the faith. We think of the new believers who have just accepted Jesus as their Savior. They go, wow. I know when I was saved, I came home. I was up in the mountains, 17 years old. I said, Mom, I've been saved. And she acted like I just won a ribbon from an award. She goes, oh, that's great. She couldn't even relate to what that meant. And unfortunately, the churches I went to early in my life didn't preach God's word. They said, you can't really understand this by yourself. You have to listen to the guy kind of up there on the stage. You know, he'll tell you what to believe and what parts are important. It wasn't until I started getting older that God started working on your heart, that, you know what, these are the words of life. These are the words of truth. These are the words that will guide you and direct you and lead you and truly give you that abundant life that he speaks of. But see, we're also to mentor those young in experience. Young in experience might be young married couples, right? I mean, they may be Christians, but they're clueless what a married life looks like. The two become one. And as we mentor the young, we become then their spiritual fathers in our communities, in our workplaces, in our homes. Scripture teaches us that Paul the Apostle considered himself a spiritual father to all the churches that he planted. And here's the point of this overly long introduction. And the point is this, that a father can give no greater gift to his children than to pass on genuine thirst and hunger for for godly wisdom. Children learn and grow from the example we give them, and they start learning at a very early age. But they also learn from our mistakes. They learn from our shortcomings as we share our testimony with them, as we say, hey, I blew it with you guys growing up, taking you to a strip club. Can you imagine that? When my boys turned 18, my older boys, first thing I did, I wanted to be the cool dad. So I took him to a strip club. Oh, it was only my youngest boy that called me out on it, my son Patrick. He said, Dad, why would I want to go to a place like that? It holds nothing for me. But I wanted to be the cool dad. I wanted to be the one that went out drinking with them, that stayed out all night and got drunk. You know what? I was clueless what it meant to live godly as a godly parent. So let's hear from Solomon's wisdom. Without any further ado, chapter 4. This is part one of fatherly wisdom, and it's passing down wisdom from generation to generation. Verse 1. Solomon writes, Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. So Solomon begins this chapter by lovingly addressing all of his children. Solomon says to his sons that they are to hear these words from their father so that they would know or gain understanding. That word hear, it means to hear with the intention of obeying. We think of the prophet Samuel when God first called him. He was there lying down on the cot at night, and he hears those words from God. Samuel, Samuel. He wakes up and looks around, kind of going, whoa, what was that? So he goes back to sleep and hears Samuel, Samuel. So he wakes up and he goes to Eli there, the high priest, who's sleeping kind of in the cot next to him. And he goes, hey, someone's calling me at night. And Eli, very wise, said, you know what? Whatever God tells you to do, that's what you should do. So God calls him one more time, and he says, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel said, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. The idea there is my heart is ready to respond. So whatever you tell me to do, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. And that's how we are to approach God's word. Even tonight, we say, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. We've prepared our heart through worship to hear God's word. Now we're asking for him to transform us, to speak to us individually, to be our tutor, to be our guide. Solomon says to his sons, that I'm not just any stranger who doesn't know you. I'm your father. So give me your full, undivided attention. Don't let my words just go in one ear and out the other. There's something I want you to know. I want you to know, what is it? Understanding. That word understanding can also be rendered as good learning or a sound truth. Why does Solomon want him to know this? Well, look at verse 2. He says, For I give you good doctrine, so do not forsake my law. See, whenever we begin to chew or study God's word, this should always be our first goal. First, to have our heart prepared to hear what God says. And then secondly, to be willing to obey whatever God teaches us. He's our Heavenly Father. He tells us what to do because it's going to lead us to a happy, healthy, abundant life. God's doctrine, God's law, is there for only one reason, and that's to keep us spiritually healthy and to keep us safe. It's one thing to be saved, yes, but God wants us to be healthy spiritually. He wants to keep us safe from the harms and wiles of the world. Now, all fathers want their kids to be healthy, don't we? We want them to be happy. We want them to be safe. But see, God's word will keep us on those healthy roads leading to God. God's word will always help us to live a life that's more abundant, overflowing with God's love and blessings. And God's word always keeps us on those safe roads. So Solomon tells his son, "Do not forsake my law. I want nothing but the best for you." See, the mature Christian seeks godly wisdom than from godly sources. We don't follow the latest post on Facebook page and believe what they say there. We don't read something in the paper and say, "Oh, this has got to be true." Everything we choose to believe, obey, and follow must always be measured against God's word, because it's only God's word that is inerrant, that is infallible, because it's the word of God, as if he wrote it down as by himself, as if he had breathed it. So when God calls our name, man, we say, "Okay, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Now, Solomon, next in verse 3, is going to reminisce a bit about his youth. He says, "When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me." Well, he's going to tell him in a bit. First, who was Solomon's father? King David, right? Okay, who was Solomon's mom? Bathsheba, right? Solomon also had some pretty messed up brothers too, right? We won't get into it much tonight, but man, one of his brothers raped his sister. Another brother killed that brother for raping the sister. And another brother went after his dad and tried to kill him because of the throne. I mean, Solomon kind of had a really messed up family, didn't he? So when we think of our families being kind of dysfunctional sometimes, I mean, Solomon has nothing on us. He had a real messed up family. And if God can work through a family like that to perform his will and his purposes, he will work through our families and our lives, even through our mistakes. Even through our brokenness, God will work through us. See, Solomon remembered the teachings of his father, King David. He said in verse 3, "When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me." Note that here that King David, as busy as a man he was, he took the time to teach his son. Fathers, this is such a strong truth for all of us that have kids. Men, we should never get too busy to teach, to guide, to instruct those people that are dear to us, especially our kids. They need guidance. They need direction. They need boundaries. Friends and co-workers, man, they're going to come and go in our lives and our kids' lives, but we will always be family to our kids. Men, let's be committed not to let our kids make the same mistakes that we did. We must be transparent with them. If we blew something growing up, like if we had a problem with drugs or alcohol or pills, you know, if we had a sex addiction, and my goodness, it goes on and on. We say to our kids, "Man, God, he's a healer. He can deliver you from these things. But the first thing you have to do is to surrender to him. Say, Lord, I want your will over my pleasure. I want your will and your energy, your anointing to be on my life, because I want to be used by you in a greater way than I could have ever imagined. And these are the words that King David taught his son Solomon in verse 4. He tells Solomon, "Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live." King David says, if you were to write down all these words that I have in a diary, well, in a diary they can be lost, they can be stolen, they can be just forgotten. You can press delete on your computer and man, all those words, they're gone, right? You can put them in your phone and misplace them. They go in the cloud somewhere and suddenly they're drifting off in the cloud. But if we retain God's word in our heart, they become part of us. They become infused in our daily lives. Then we can truly start responding to those words of God and be transformed by God's work as he speaks through us. David said, if you retain my words in your heart, my words will become part of you. The wisdom that I've learned from God will nourish you. It will be the blood that fuels your thoughts, your activities, and it will keep, and if you keep these commands, you will live. That word live means a life that's pleasing and righteous before God, a life that's fulfilling and rewarding, a life at peace with God and with man. So David says in verse 5, this is what I want you to get. I want you to get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Well, he says to get two things there. Get wisdom. Get understanding. The Hebrew word for wisdom, you know, it's chokmah, speaking of the godly wisdom to live skillfully before the Lord. The Hebrew word for understanding is another one. It's bina. And bina is the skill required to perform a task. See, you need a skill, bina, to study the Chinese language before you can understand what the Chinese people are saying, right? We need to learn that skill. Notice that King David says that both wisdom and understanding are the things that we are to get. We are not born wise, are we? Nobody's born immediately with an implant, a little memory chip into our heads. We're not ever born speaking Chinese. If we are not taught, though, how to do things like read, they'll just look like dots on a page. So Solomon says, get wisdom and understanding. We are to value them enough to go out and seek them. David says, get wisdom. Go out and seek godly wisdom. Get understanding. Learn the skills that it takes to walk God's way. And this is important, Solomon says. So he says, do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. But here's the thing. Each son must choose his own path. We can guide our children. We can guide those that we love. But they must make their own choices. Nobody can make those decisions to seek a relationship with God but that son or daughter himself. What we have to give them, though, are good reasons that they want to take this path. The path either leads towards life or it leads towards death. Sometimes that isn't enough for them. Sometimes they need to say that this road to life is also very rewarding. It means that you're going to grow closer to God. You're going to come to know him better. Hearing this passage, it made me wonder, what made Solomon choose wisdom when he could have requested anything from God? Do you remember that passage? I mean, he was There, God was very pleased with him, with his choices, the way he was starting to run the country. And God said, you know what? I'm so pleased with you. Ask from me something, and I will give it to you. And what did Solomon ask for? Wisdom, so that he could rule his people. Well, see, David, his father, said, get wisdom, get understanding. And do you think maybe that this charge from his dad was what encouraged Solomon to choose wisdom from God? Dad said to get wisdom. God offered me anything. So Solomon chose wisdom. In my opinion, yeah, he chose rightly, made the right decision. David said, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth, because God's wisdom always brings healing, brings peace, brings life. But the fool in his heart, man, he says there is no God. And the fool's path always leads to sickness, strife, and destruction. So Solomon advises his son. He says, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. The world always wants to cloud true godly wisdom. The world tries to tell us that it's okay to take shortcuts, that the easy road is much better to gain success, to gain riches. But King David tells his son, treat her like a lady that you cherish. Look at verse 6. He says, do not forsake her, that is Lady Wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Solomon says to fall in love with God's wisdom. Do not throw her aside like a used paper towel. Love her, and she will what? Protect you. Godly wisdom will preserve your life. Why? Because you see there in verse 7, because wisdom is the principal thing. That is, gaining godly wisdom is of first and highest importance. Godly wisdom is truly the key to life. It's the final puzzle piece that many of us were missing until we found Jesus. Therefore, David says, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Learning and growing in the knowledge of God gives us skills we need to walk righteously before God. So in all your efforts of obtaining wealth, obtaining honor, obtaining respect, when you go to the supermarket of life, make sure you get your godly wisdom and get the skills you need to live out that wisdom. That is, get understanding. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 9 and 10, David expanded on these words that he gave to Solomon. David said, as for you, my son, Solomon, know the God of your father. That is, know God intimately. Not just things about God, but get to know God personally. David says, and serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. In other words, be a faithful follower, not just a fair-weather friend to God. For the Lord, he searches all the hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him as to gain understanding, be not, right? He will be found by you. And if you go looking diligently for godly wisdom, God will help guide and instruct you. But here's his warning, he says at the end of that passage. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So consider now, David says to his son, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. So be strong and do it. David gave his son some good reasons to follow this path, godly path of life, that he might serve God, that he might have life abundantly. In verse 8, he speaks more about Lady Wisdom. He says, "Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you." And the idea here is clearly that we are to pursue wisdom because it's worth the effort. That's why we're here tonight, right? We're here pursuing godly wisdom because it's worth the effort. We see the changes in our lives. We see the changes in our family. I know Pam's a lot happier when I go to Men's Study because I become a better man. Not because of anything I've done, but because of the thing that God is doing in us. But learning any skill always takes time and effort. David says to first exalt her. Gaining godly wisdom should be on top of our priority list, of our to-do list today. Why? Because pursuing godly wisdom is worth the effort. Look at the benefits. It says here that she will promote you. That is, as you exalt her, wisdom will lift you higher. She will cause you to grow and mature in wisdom and knowledge of the Lord. It says, she will bring you honor. That is, as you embrace wisdom, by keeping her close to your side, she will honor you. By bringing others to you that you can share your wisdom with. See, godly wisdom is also God-given wisdom to be shared with all of God's people. Yes, gaining godly wisdom will promote you, honor you. But main thing is, it glorifies God when we give back to him that which he so freely gave us. Verse 9, she will also place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Solomon says that the spotlight of God's wisdom, man, it's going to shine brightly in your lives. But ultimately, always that glory goes back to God. It is his wisdom, truly, that has promoted us. It is his wisdom that has brought us honor and placed that crown of glory on our heads. Jesus Christ alone deserves all the honor and praise. It is his wisdom. It is his grace that sustains our lives and makes us fruitful for the kingdom of God. Part 2 of Fatherly Wisdom. I've named this one, Making Godly or God-Led Choices. Verse 10. Solomon says, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in the right paths." So Solomon kind of repeats himself from verse 1. He says, "Listen up, son. I have something more important to pass on to you." He says, "Hear and plant in your heart what I am saying. If you put into application these godly truths I have taught you," it says that the years of your life will be many. "I've taught you in the way of wisdom," he said. "I've led you in right paths. But now, son, I'm not going to be leading you anymore. You have to make your own decisions for life. You're going to have your own families to begin leading. So you're going to start learning and discovering your own paths. But a wise man always chooses the godly path." The way or the path following godly wisdom is always the right path. Solomon instructs his son to stay on the right road. The other roads you encounter will have many signs. Don't always take the quick way or the easy way. The quick and the easy way is not always the right way. But seek understanding and seek godly wisdom before choosing the right road. But the son now, he must use the wisdom he's been taught to make the decision on his own. In the paths of our lives, I don't know how many big changes you guys have had in your life, but I've had many, from, you know, going through colleges and having kids. Well, some of the paths may become unclear. And we may have choices to make of, you know, what job should I take? You know, what career path should I take? What house or car do I purchase? A good general rule when making life decisions is, what choice gives God the most glory? And also, which choice will strengthen my walk with the Lord? But in all decisions, man, we just seek God's guidance. Making godly decisions means making God-led decisions. We are to take those decision-making processes, especially the hard ones. If you're thinking of moving out of state or taking on a new job that may require a two-hour drive each way, we're to saturate those with prayer. And I mean, that's what the brothers are here for, you know, to lift each other up, to pray for each other, to help instruct us, to learn from their wisdom. They say, may say, oh, that two-hour drive, you never want to do that, man. Man, it gets old really quick. Or you might say, you know what, I really feel God is leading you here. You know, so for a period of time and for a season, God may be really asking you to step out in faith, something hard to do. Maybe even step out of a different type of career than you've ever had in your life. Maybe he asks you to step out onto the mission field like he did with the Gleasons. You know, I can't imagine a young married couple just suddenly taken off and for the mission field and leaving their friends and family. But that's where God led them. And the more we take those circumstances, those hard choices, and saturate them with prayer, and let the body of Christ help direct us through godly wisdom, the more we'll make sure that we're staying within God's will, that truly these are God-led decisions. So Solomon instructs his son to always seek God-led wisdom. So that in verse 12, he says, when you walk, he says, your steps, they will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. So take firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. See, when you purposely choose to walk in the straight paths of God, you're not going to be tripped up by the temptation of sin. And when you're working hard, running sometimes, it seems like at the speed of light, he says you will not stumble because God's road is always well lit. God's road is always free from the brambles and thorns that want to slow down your service to the Lord. Therefore, Solomon says, man, hold on tightly to the instruction you have learned. Guard her well. She will bring you life. Don't give in to believing the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of the world may, man, it may teach you how to fix your computer, you know, how to reset your email, but only God's wisdom will instruct you how to fix broken lives, broken relationships, broken hearts. Only God can heal those things. Now, not all unmarked roads are bad, but he says to never take this one. He mentions it in verse 14. He says, do not enter the path of the wicked. And these are the commands. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Playing around with any sin is kind of like playing around a storm drain. Have you seen those? Big storm drains, a heavy rain comes, and man, just rains, they come rushing into the storm drain. And with it, you almost see this flood of water that's rushing down. See branches and trees and rocks going from it. Fallen trees and bushes. See, the foolish man treats this area kind of like his own personal playground. One moment he's there playing on the edge of the shore on a fast-moving river. The next thing, though, his foot slips, and he's sucked into the river, fighting for his life. See, the path of the wicked is the same way. It looks like fun. But I'll tell you, one day, your foot is going to slip, and you will be fighting for your life. The addictions that you may have to overcome, the brokenness of a marriage, the brokenness of a relationship with one of your kids. These are things we never want to play around with. This is the path of the wicked. Solomon says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. It says, avoid it. Stay clear of it. It's dangerous. Use godly wisdom that I have taught you, and always look where that path leads. See, the path of the wicked leads us down those crooked paths of life, filled with death and destruction. Says to avoid it at all costs. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. But also be aware of those men that would like to lead you in their wicked ways. Look at verse 17. He says, for these evil men, they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And what makes this wicked path so dangerous? It's that these evil people live and feed off the sufferings of others. They live a morally upside down life. That's completely contrary to God's wisdom. Look at what the passage says. These evil people cannot sleep soundly unless they have been active in practicing evil deeds, causing others to go their wicked ways. They kind of stand on the side of the road like a prostitute, trying to tempt a young man into sin. They're nourished and sustained by eating of this bread of wickedness. The wine of violence is just part of their normal diet. This is the way of the wicked. Destruction, brokenness, evil, dark. But see, God calls us to seek a healthier, richer, more rewarding path. In verse 18, he says, but the path of the just is just like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked, though, is like darkness. They do not know even what makes them stumble. Solomon quickly summarizes his statements this way. He says, the path of the just, man, it's filled with light. And it grows and matures, getting brighter every day. Just as we watch a sunrise start to come over the hills in the early morning, once our world, before we knew Jesus, man, it was dark. But see, as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of God, suddenly that light gets brighter and brighter until it becomes fully above us. And we feel the warmth of God's love. And we know his presence in our lives. And we can see the paths clearly in front of us. But the way of the wicked is like walking around in complete darkness. The wicked can't even see the things in their life that make them stumble. They're clueless to the things of God. There's no hope for them. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5-7, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us all from sin. Solomon tells us that each man, though, he must choose his own course. And you either choose the path that leads to life, or you choose the path that leads to destruction. Solomon commands his son, follow God-led wisdom. Choose purposely and intentionally the path of life. You might remember what Moses gave God's children when he gave them a similar charge in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Moses said, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, Moses says, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of all your days. Solomon said, be wise. Choose life, son. Seek to always be led by God. And last part, part three of fatherly wisdom, keeping your heart on track. Verse 20. We're getting there, man. My son, he says, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, and do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Solomon makes one final appeal to his son. He says, pay attention to these important, life-shaping words, but keep them guarded and protected in your heart. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it begs the question to all of us, what is the treasure that we are guarding and protecting in our heart? Solomon says to get godly wisdom, get understanding, and the skill to apply that wisdom. In these passages, Solomon says, don't let God's wisdom or understanding escape you. Don't let it out of your sight, but rather keep them well guarded in the depths of your heart. You see, it's our hearts, our desires, that can lead us astray also by the many things in this world. The emotion, we think of the emotion of love and sex. It can lead us into unhealthy emotional relationships. Maybe it's our desire to acquire a big house. It can cause us to work too many hours, neglecting our responsibilities as parents. We may feel the need to feel valued or into seeking recognition for something that we haven't worked for or that we haven't, we don't deserve. Well, this leads us to pride, leads us into sin. Solomon says, guard and choose wisely those things you choose to place in your heart. He says, stay on track. You guys ever grow up with slot cars? Slot cars, you know what I'm talking about? Good. They're still around, slot cars. Well, much like a slot car only runs properly when its contacts are connected properly to the track. See, this describes the life of the Christian. We are to stay connected to God's wisdom. By staying on this track, we always seek God's wisdom. And what happens, though, if we start seeking our own wisdom and following it? Man, we start pressing that throttle down on the slot car. And we go, and it's straight away. Well, what happens when we get to that curve? Goes off the track, right? We go flying off the track. See, but when God's in control of our lives, he knows the right speeds to press on those curves. He starts adjusting our lives for what he knows is coming next. He starts preparing us, maybe for some of those challenges financially that are coming up, or emotionally that's happening with our kids. He starts grooming our lives for what's coming next based upon what we've already had, the experiences. God uses everything that we are to bring him glory and to fulfill his purposes. But we must, like that slot car, stay on track with God, seeking his wisdom, and allow him to have full control. When we go too fast around those curves, man, we just take control and we fly off the track. Solomon says, guard and choose wisely the things you choose to place in your heart. Godly wisdom and understanding keeps us safe, keeps us on this track. And why should we do this? Well, Solomon tells us again, verse 22. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. When our heart, see, remains focused on pleasing and following God, everything else in our life just seems to fall into place. Solomon says it's life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. When our heart is on track and properly aligned with God's will, our heart then becomes a refreshing wellspring of God for others that thirst. We get the added blessing of sharing God's wisdom now with others. We bring God's comfort to those that are hurting. We bring God's hope to those that are lost. And we bring God's healing to those that are broken. When we ingest God's wisdom and understanding, we become God's messengers to the world. His hands of love, his heart of compassion. In these closing remarks, Solomon gives his son three final commands of how to begin his journey down this godly path. Verse 24. Number one, he says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Solomon says that once our heart has been properly guarded and protected, the next things you want to look for are the natural forming fruits of the Spirit. These fruits, see, in our lives will be proof positive that your life is heading down the right path. You may ask yourself, does your life display love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? If they do, then your heart is truly set on the things of God. But Solomon says, but if your mouth is deceitful, speaking lies, if perverse jokes or jabs come from your mouth, Solomon says, put those things away. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Solomon commands his son, number one, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. These are the outward signs of a wicked, evil man. They no longer describe you as God's child. So put those things far from you. Second thing Solomon tells his son, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Solomon now almost begs his son to keep his eyes on the straight path. The wicked or the crooked path, man, it may look pleasant. It may seem tempting, but keep your focus on gaining godly wisdom and understanding. You might remember Paul's prayer to the Ephesian church. He prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of his glory and his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of his power towards us who believe. Solomon simply says, son, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. You don't want to be on your cell phone texting when you're walking down God's highway. You're going to get distracted. You're going to get into some type of a chariot crash. So don't allow your gaze to wander, but keep seeking God's wisdom and understanding. And lastly, Solomon tells his son, number three, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Solomon encourages son not only to look where he's going, but to ponder the feet of your path. Be looking for those obstacles in the road that may slow down your walk with the Lord or trip you up. Ask the question to yourself, is my life growing in godly wisdom? Do others see the fruits of the Spirit in my life? Solomon says, do not turn to the right or the left. And if you find yourself off course, do a course change. He says, remove your foot from evil. That's where you find yourself. Rather, Solomon says, ponder your path in the presence of God, and he will be the one that establishes your ways. Does that sound familiar? Proverbs 3. Verses 5 and 6, Solomon wrote, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Solomon closes out tonight with these strong words. He says, keep your heart guarded. That's what you treasure. Make sure you're putting in the right things. He says, watch what comes out of your mouth, because what comes out of your mouth can help or hurt. It reflects what your heart is full of. And keep your eyes on seeking God's wisdom and understanding. And lastly, he says, ponder the path your feet are making in the presence of God. Because as you look at your steps, you can see where you've been and where God's taken you. You can see sometimes the path that's leading up to the mountain, something greater than you would have ever imagined you'd ever be doing. Ponder that in the presence of God, and he will direct your paths. Solomon says these things will keep you on the straight path of life. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time with the brothers. Lord, we sometimes are overwhelmed by this thing that you call life. We're overwhelmed by having to deal with the finances, by having to deal with the relationships of kids and raising them. Father, we do ask for your help. We need godly wisdom. We need those skills in our lives to understand what you're saying, how to relate to people in a godly way. So, Father, continue being our teacher. Lead us and guide us in those paths of life. Father, bless us and be our guide, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brothers.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.